Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. The love of God surrounds us like the very air we breathe. Breathe deeply, my friends. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us. Maybe you have just begun attending today or you've begun attending recently. We especially want to welcome you. Those of us who are here week in and week out would like to seek out people we don't recognize, extend a hand of friendship and welcome, and express our hope that you will become a part of this congregation, don't we? Okay, you have to do more than nod your head and say yes. You actually have to speak to people too, okay? So that you understand how this works, right? Yes, we're glad you're here, and if we don't get to you quickly enough, you introduce yourselves to us, because we would love it if you would become a part of what God is doing in and through West End. To do that, you'll find lots of opportunities in your bulletin insert. I will lift up just a few. First of all, this afternoon at 5 p.m. is our monthly Tazay service. If you have never visited a Tazay service, it is a time of prayer, of singing, of silence, a respite from the busyness and the noisiness that characterizes most of our lives. And so if you haven't tried it, let me encourage you to do so. Here in the sanctuary, 5 p.m. today. Also, this coming Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. in the Four Story Theater, we will be showing An Act of Love, which is an award-winning documentary film that offers a glimpse into the life of Reverend Frank Schaefer as he literally risks his clergy orders to do a marriage for his son and his son's male partner. It's a very moving documentary. I hope you'll come and join us for that. Four Story Theater, 7 p.m. this coming Wednesday. Admission is free. Also, you're invited downtown this Saturday to visit our booth at the Nashville Pride Festival. You're invited to volunteer for our booth at the Nashville Pride Festival or come early and take part in the parade that will lead to the festival itself. You can read more about that in the bulletin insert if you are interested. Also, we hope that you will come out and support the Children's Mission Week Car Wash, and that is this coming Thursday, June 23rd. It's from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. I realize that doesn't work for everybody, but if it is possible for you to come out, our kids, as part of Vacation Bible School and Mission Week, will be promoting this car wash. The donations given for it will go to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Now, let me just say, you don't have to come and have your car washed in order to donate, okay? UMCOR, as we affectionately call it, is a great organization. All of the money you contribute goes to relief for disaster victims around the world. None of it is spent on administration. It's a separate offering. It's one of the wonderful things that our denomination does around the world to help people who are suffering. So if you can, come get your car washed between 10 and 11:30 on Thursday. If you can't, think about writing a check, and in that memo line, write it to the church in that memo line, put UMCOR. When you were growing up, did you ever have parents or grandparents or others say, "Now mind your manners. Don't forget to say please and thank you. Don't forget to be on your best behavior." All because most of us were taught to respect other people, and that was a way of respecting them. Well, we're going to tell a story about how Jesus respected someone else, and you're going to be surprised who it is. Stick around.
We come to give glory to Christ who frees us. find joy and peace in the love of the Lord. In confession, we turn to God, allowing the light of Christ to illuminate our lives. Let us acknowledge our transgressions and together seek the grace of God. Eternal One, we acknowledge that we cannot overcome our inner darkness. Pride defines us. We seek value in our own accomplishments, forgetting our true identity in you. Selfishness motivates us. We hoard our material and emotional resources, failing to give to those around us. Fear haunts us. We obey our desire for self-preservation, ignoring the abundance of your world. Divine light, illuminate the dark places in our souls. Teach us what it means to be your light in the world, so that our pride, selfishness, and fear may be transformed to love. Accept Christ's gift of unending and overflowing forgiveness. Thanks be to God who supplements our deficiencies and leads us in the way of love. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, it's okay to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend along with you if that helps. When I was a little boy, my parents would always remind me when we went out to be sure, if I asked for something, to say please. When someone gave me what I asked for, I was always to say thank you. So if we were going out to somebody's house and we were going to eat, and I said, please pass the potatoes, if they passed the potatoes, which they always did, I would say thank you. If I was talking to a male who was older than me, I was to answer yes, sir, and no, sir. If I was talking to a woman who was older than I was, then I was to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Because they wanted me to be polite. They wanted me to show respect to those around me. And I'm really glad they did. Although sometimes when people say yes, sir, to me, it makes me feel kind of old. That's because I am kind of old. Now, Jesus also taught his disciples how to respect other people. That's the word that we use when we talk about being polite to other people. We respect them because they are children of God, just like we are. And we're supposed to treat them like children of God, and they're supposed to treat us like children of God. And guess what? We're supposed to treat them like children of God even when they don't treat us like children of God. We're supposed to treat them even better than they treat us. Now, Jesus in the story today that you just heard Pastor Aaron read meets up with somebody and shows them respect, someone who doesn't particularly respect him, but he shows them respect anyway. So you listen for who that is, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for teaching us how to love each other and respect each other as your children, because we know we all are, each and every one of us. Help us to learn from Jesus, not just how to respect each other, but how to love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. In the Gospels, when it talks about Jesus going to the other side or across the Sea of Galilee, he's not just going to another geographical location. He's going to another culture, almost like visiting another planet. He's going to the Gentile territories. Across the Sea of Galilee lay the Decapolis, the 10 Gentile cities in Palestine at the time of Jesus. And though he traveled there, he was never at home there. In this case, as he travels to the Decapolis, to this Gentile part of Palestine, he encounters a man, and we're told the man has demons. That's all we're told about his inner life at this point. When Jesus and his followers encounter the man, Jesus attempts to cast out the demon, and the demon, instead of leaving, says, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of God?" He recognizes who Jesus is, even though Jesus' disciples are having kind of a hard time figuring out who he is. The demon recognizes him immediately. Actually, demons. Says, "What do you have to do with me?" Now, this man, we know, has been driven by this demon possession into isolation from his community. He doesn't wear clothes. He is naked, which would have isolated him in and of itself because it would have been shameful to look on him. He lived among the tombs. And tombs, at least for Jesus and his followers, would have been places that were unclean because they contained death. They contained dead bodies. In fact, in his time, they would often whitewash tombs in order to identify them so you could see them, so you could avoid them. In fact, Jesus called the good religious people of his time whitewashed tombs because instead of exuding life, they exuded death. So Jesus asks the demons, "What is your name?" I suppose he figures that if he can get the name of the demon, and having someone's name gives you a certain power over them, that he could try again to get the demon to leave, and the demon would do so. The demon says, "Legion." Now, legion in that time is not a name. It is a military designation for a unit in the Roman army. 5,000 or more soldiers. This is not a demon. This band is completely consumed and eaten up with demonic possession. But isn't it interesting that even though the demon refuses to leave, Jesus simply asks for the demon's name? And when the demon says, "Don't cast us into the abyss," which is where demons went to die, instead, let us go into that herd of pigs over here. Jesus lets that happen. He's respectful of the request of the demons. They put a condition on his leaving, and he accepts the condition. And so Jesus allows this group of demons to inhabit that herd of pigs. And of course, they have been driving this poor soul to his own self-destruction and isolating him. And the thing about it, the thing they probably didn't count on, is they carried their destructiveness with them. And when they enter into the pigs, they run over the edge of the cliff, they run down to the sea, and they run into the sea. Because you see, demons specialize in destruction. Once they're gone, the man puts on clothes. He's able to sit and talk to Jesus. When the people come and see him, who knew him, they're amazed. They can't believe the difference. Others told them what happened, that Jesus had this really fairly respectful conversation with a group of demons, and the demons went into a group of pigs who then drowned. They're afraid. They're afraid of Jesus, and they ask him to leave. Now, there are several reasons they could have been afraid. They could have been afraid because of the ire of the pig owner. How would you like for your entire income to be run into the sea to help this guy who was troubled? They could have been afraid because the kind of power they saw Jesus exude in this exorcism was frightening to them. He had overcome evil. He had overcome disrespect. He had overcome destruction with goodness and respect and a very creative response. In any case, Jesus does what they asked him to do. He gets into the boat, and he and his followers start to leave. Now, the man who had been cured asked to go with him. The man who was already isolated from his community because of his demonic possession, who, if he stayed, would have a reputation because everybody knew who he was and what he had suffered, wants to leave. But Jesus says, no, you go ahead and stay, and you reestablish your community with these folks, and you tell them what God has done for you. Not what I've done for you, what God has done for you. Now, we don't know if this man was Jewish or a Gentile. It could be that Jesus just ordained a Gentile to go preach the gospel. Oh, my gosh. Where else but in Luke would that happen? Right? You know, I didn't learn a lot about demonic possession in seminary. You know, being good mainline Protestants, we didn't have any classes on exorcisms and how to conduct them. And for a long time, I have kind of pushed that aside. In part because I saw it as an ancient way of understanding things we would define differently today. In part because it was identified with mental illness, and I don't think mental illness is demonic possession. But the longer I've lived, and the more I have seen people who cultivate hate and fear and destructiveness, the more I've decided that maybe evil does have a human face. Maybe we do become possessed by our fears and our hatreds, and we begin to lose control over their destructiveness in our lives and in the lives of the people we meet. This past week, while this scripture was rattling around on one side of my head, the events of last week in Orlando were rattling around on the other side of my head, and I think during the week the two got mingled, because I've been very, very troubled by what happened last week. That one person filled with hate, filled with a desire to hurt as many people as possible, and with the ability to gain the means of hurting as many people as possible, would walk into a place that was supposed to be a place of celebration and fun and safety and turn it into a tomb, a place of death. How do we respond? Well, I'm on Facebook, and I guess I have seen just about every response you could imagine, most of them not very helpful. But Jesus gives us an example of how we respond, even if we understand this as a kind of demonic presence in our midst. We do not overcome evil with more evil. That just adds to the evil. Jesus says it specifically. We overcome evil with good. We do not overcome hate with more hate. That just adds to the hate. We overcome hate with love. We do not overcome disrespect for people by adding more disrespect to it. We overcome disrespect with respect. Several years ago, I had the chance to hear Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, a wonderful writer, author of Night, and many, many other books. He was speaking here in Nashville. I got to go, and one of the things he said was that at that time he had stopped using the word tolerance. He said, "I don't talk about tolerating people anymore, because to tolerate someone puts me in a superior position to them. I allow them somehow to be in my world." He said, "No, I use the word respect, because respect is something that's shared between equals." You know, we in the church generally, we as Christians generally, have had a hard time doing what Jesus asked us to do, to overcome hatred with love. But we might start with respect. If we can't get to love right away, maybe we can just start with basic human decency and respect. That could be a first step. To respect those people who are different from us because of the color of their skin, or because of the language they grew up speaking, or because of their sexual orientation, or any other reason you can think of. Just basic respect as children of God. Maybe we can begin to overcome the disrespect and the hatred that is being spewed by both political and religious leaders, some of them, not all, but some, that give a bad name to this country and give a bad name to our religion, because it becomes a religion of disrespect and hate instead of the religion of Jesus Christ. Maybe we could just begin with respect. You know, in the wake of what happened, both the incident in Orlando of last week and the incident of a year ago in Charleston, churches often were sent scrambling for ways to respond a year ago to the African-American community, this week to the LGBTQ community, to Muslims, because the man who did the shooting this time was a Muslim. But you know, it's interesting that in this congregation, we didn't have to scramble. Our flags are out there, our banners, and they say, God loves everyone unconditionally. That is the first of our bedrock beliefs. We got shirts that you can buy and wear that say, God loves everyone unconditionally, because that is the first of our bedrock beliefs. This congregation desegregated in the early to mid-60s before the denomination did. They said everyone is welcome no matter your skin color. We became a welcoming congregation to anyone no matter your sexual orientation some years ago. This Wednesday, you can come see an act of love. It was already scheduled. We didn't have to scramble for that. I hope you will. This coming Saturday, you can march in the Pride Parade, or you can march alongside as a wall of protection to those who are marching. You can come to the booth that West End will have there, along with other United Methodist churches, who are there to say, if other people don't love you, we need to let you know God loves you, and if you come to us, we will love you too. Now, we don't do it perfectly, but this is in our DNA as a congregation. It is in our bedrock beliefs. It is woven into who we are, and I thank God for that. We don't have to change our tune because this has been our tune all along. We are genuinely, in our own frail and faulty way, attempting to overcome evil with good. Hatred with love, disrespect with respect, and even arrogance with a kind of humility to simply go about doing the things that we do, telling that God's love applies to every single person, and then treating those persons as if they are people who deserve to be loved and respected because they are children of God. We don't have to scurry to reach out to the Islamic community. Last Sunday in our combined Sunday school class, we had Imam Osama Balul to teach the class, who was here to talk about his kind of Islam, not the kind we hear trumpeted by some other folk, or the kind we hear caricatured by people who want to put them down as a whole religion, but the kind of Islam that is absolutely horrified by the kinds of things that have happened in its name, just like we are Christians who are horrified by some of the things that have happened in our name. And Jesus gives us that example. He even treats demons with respect, because that's how you overcome those demonic forces in the world, not by becoming like them, but by providing an alternative witness. I know it's counterintuitive. What we want to do when somebody hates us is hate them back. What we want to do when somebody is disrespectful to us is disrespect them back. What we want to do when someone does evil to us is to do evil right back. But that's not the way God works. And it is not the way that works. The only thing that works is to overcome the destructive forces of the world, the demonic forces of the world, with a kind of love that is stronger than anything else that has ever been created. And that's what we have. The love of God in Jesus Christ is stronger than all the hate and all the disrespect and all the evil in creation. There is nothing that can ultimately defeat God's love. And our job is simply to tell that story and to offer that respect even when it's not offered back to us. I'm going to tell you my favorite exorcism story. I don't have a lot, I have to admit, okay? Since I never took a class, I don't have a lot. But it is my favorite, even though it came from a limited number. It comes from the early church, the desert mothers and fathers, those individuals and communities that moved away from the centers of population during the Roman Empire because Rome and the church had become a little too closely aligned, and they sought to live out their faith in small communities and as individuals in the deserts of Egypt and Libya and across North Africa. And they told stories about these monks, and some of these stories have been saved. So this is my favorite exorcism story. There was a monk who was supposed to be noted as a skilled exorcist. Nearby where he lived, there was a family whose son had been possessed by a demon. And so they called for this monk to come and to exorcise the demon from their son. So he came and went into the room where the son was. And when he came in, the demon says, "Ha! What do you have to do with me? You think you can get rid of me?" And the monk said, I don't know if I can or not, but I'm here to try." And the demon just laughed right in his face. He knew he was stronger than this guy. He said, "I tell you what." He said, "I will ask you a question, and if you are able to answer that question, I will leave this young man." "Very well, that seemed like a fair enough deal," thought the monk. "What's the question?" The demon said, "In the story that Jesus tells about the sheep and the goats, and the sheep that are welcomed and the goats that are sent away, I want you to tell me, who among us are the sheep? Who among us are the goats? You tell me that. You name names, and I'll leave this young man." And the monk said, "I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. You see, all I know is this. I am a goat. The sheep are known only to God." And the demon went screaming out of the young man, saying, "Your humility has driven me out." Sounds kind of like Jesus, doesn't it? Faith, and sometimes we borrow words. So we're going to borrow some words from the United Church of Canada. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we profess our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall and through the doors to your right following the service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you may have. You can find them with the blue name tags. They'll be both in Reed Hall and in the narthex after the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side, you may record any comments for staff and lay leadership. Please make sure to note if you'd like a call back on those. On the other side is a place for prayer requests. Also, please note with that if they're to be kept confidential, and then those cards can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed in just a moment. Also, if you haven't already done so, please take a moment to record your attendance by passing the attendance pad. And as it's passed back, please make sure to note who's worshiping with you and greet them after the service. This morning, we offer our sympathy to Mark Crabtree and his family, who are mourning the death of his brother, G. Wayne Crabtree, who died Monday, June 13th. Services were held at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home on Thursday, the 16th. We also grieve with those who have lost loved ones in Orlando. We pray for justice and peace for our country and for our world, and we pray for strength and courage that we may make that so every day. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of those cast out and of the abandoned, you enter into the chaos of our lives with the silence of love. As we choke on bitter memories, you touch us with healing. When we wander the wilderness of our world, you bring us home to your heart. Jesus Christ, sin's conqueror, into our deepest pain where we can find no hope, you dare to enter. When we gasp in fear, you reach out to hold our hearts. When we face death, you stride out of the grave to lead us to the boulevards of the kingdom. Spirit of gentleness, you are the mist shimmering over the valleys, stirring the waters of creation. You are the dew bathing the flowers every morning, anointing us with resurrection's grace. God in community, holy in one, we lift our prayer to you as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has been gracious to us. Let us now, with generous spirit, present our offerings to God.
I'm going to invite the congregation to sit for a moment and invite our senior high mission team to come forward, along with the adults who will be accompanying them. We will have a commissioning prayer. They will be working with the Appalachia Service Project, and I hope you will be praying for them while they are doing God's work on our behalf, and I know we here at church certainly will be. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for calling us into ministry and mission in our baptism. We thank you for giving us opportunities to serve you by serving others. We thank you especially today for the group that stands here before us. You have placed in their hearts a desire to share your love with others, not simply with their words, but with their hands, their skills, their time, and their presence, just like you shared your love with us in that same way through Jesus the Christ. And so we ask your blessing upon them, that they may be a blessing to everyone they meet as they go, as they have been a blessing to us here in our midst and will be upon their return. Use not simply their work, but use their lives as a witness to your love for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you all. Now go forth to overcome evil with God's goodness, hate with God's love, disrespect with the kind of respect Jesus teaches us. Go forth to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who is the source of all goodness and love and respect, Jesus Christ, that was teaching us how to love and respect one another and do good, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do that very thing, will be with you this day and every day forevermore. Go in peace.